Hour number two of the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Talk Radio 790 KABC. The phone numbers are always 800-222-KABC. The email address that comes directly to me in studio is frank@kmgministries.com. I'm going to talk to the boss this week and see if I can get a KBC email, which would be easier to remember. But KMG Ministries is my ministry. And listener Trent sent me this one a little while ago saying, stop the storytelling and get to the news stories. Oh, okay. Trent, whatever you say. That's the thing about talk radio. It's so funny. Anybody can weigh in, call in. And it's one of the things I actually like about talk radio. It's live radio. This isn't pre-recorded, although some radio programs are pre-recorded. We're live. I drive in like 50 miles to come into work on a Friday night. It's more than worth it, and I'm grateful to be here. Let me read a commentary. I love reading commentaries. This is from a man named Roger Simon, who writes, well, this one, headline, Fauci's deposition lies in the stunning allegations of Li Meng Yan. I may not get to all of it, but I'll get to whatever I can in this segment. Roger Simon writes, it's been a long time since something I was reading kept me up all night in the way that the mysteries of Raymond Chandler and Arthur Conan Doyle did in my youth. And never, you can be sure, was it a legal deposition. We, by the way, talked about a couple weeks ago Anthony Fauci's deposition. Simon writes, last night I was riveted by every word in the deposition of Dr. Anthony Fauci gave in a lawsuit initiated by the attorneys general of Missouri and Louisiana that alleges that our government acted in collusion with big tech to censor and even massively discredit its critics, including many eminent doctors regarding COVID-19. I was riveted, even though Fauci, despite being an obviously high IQ individual, suddenly was having memory loss almost as extreme as our president, repeating some version of, I don't recall, as his answer to questions so often that it may have gone over 1,000 times in the 446-page document. While you could call it a masterpiece of James Comey-style prevarication, it became so obvious that you could predict almost every variation on this theme before the longtime director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, president chief medical advisor, even said it. Fauci, either he didn't recall having discussed any of the hot-button issues of the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, lockdowns, masks, hydroxychloroquine, and so forth, despite appearing on many emails between them on very subjects. He even denied knowledge because, quote, it was not in his lane. The latter excuse is even hard to comprehend since he was in charge of everything and appeared before us on television and nearly everywhere constantly opining on all things COVID for 2 straight years. He's still doing it now. But it actually turned to ludicrous. And Fauci shot himself in the foot despite his obvious, laborious preparation for the deposition when it came down to the heart of the matter. Roger Simon writes, by that I mean his relationship with Dr. Peter Daszak of the propagandistically named EcoHealth Alliance, through whom Fauci is alleged to have helped fund what's known as gain-of-function research at China's Wuhan Institute of Virology. The importance of this question is well known, as is Fauci and his colleagues' determination to point away from the increasingly accepted lab leak theory of the origin of the pandemic. Attaching Fauci to even part of the instigation of the lab leak theory would, of course, make him culpable in what has arguably been the greatest worldwide disaster in the recent history of the human race. It wouldn't merely be guilt by association. It would be guilt by covert, arguably illegal financing. At first, Fauci did his best under questioning to paint his relationship with Daszak as vague and remote at best, with no personal contact he could remember, maybe 1 or 2 emails. But then he was confronted by an exhibit demonstrating that he had personally appeared alongside Daszak to discuss the pandemic on a podcast hosted by none other than former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. Incredible as it sounds, again, Fauci claimed he couldn't recall. Not only was this ludicrous, it's actually outrageous. The only way a man of Fauci's intelligence couldn't recall such an event that had occurred so recently is that he would have had to have a lobotomy since. Even in the transcript, you could sense this man's entire house of cards disintegrating before his eyes. He was actually panicked. Where this will go, Roger Simon writes, I do not know. But in the midst of my concentration on his testimony, my wife entered my home office wondering if I'd watched Tucker Carlson recently, as I do. She told me that Carlson had an extraordinary interview with a Chinese woman named Li Mengyan that I had to watch. Yan was a virologist in a lab at the University of Hong Kong School of Public Health, which provides coronavirus research for the World Health Organization. Her work involved the study of the influenza virus and vaccinations, and later on the SARS-CoV-2 virus. In 2020, she fled Hong Kong, sought asylum in the United States. She purports to have inside knowledge of what may have gone on in the lab in Wuhan. Thanks to Roku, Simon writes, I was able to replay her interview on a short time later. The nub of what she was saying was that the cause of COVID-19 leak had been changed to an incident from an accident by whom it was unclear. Although Lee's English is good, she has a thick Chinese accent. Nevertheless, what I understood her to say in essence was that the virus had been deliberately designed at the Wuhan lab, even before any of us had heard anything about COVID-19 in any of its forms, lab, or any other forms. Yan said this was done by an element of the People's Liberation Army under orders of a general who had just been promoted. It was unclear how she knew it. Simon writes, I've heard similar rumors before, but never heard them told with the assurance on what has been the most popular cable news show for some time, Tucker Carlson. But if true, or even partly true, it is astounding and a revelation of global proportions, evil at its purest. It also means that Fauci's involvement, again, at whatever level, is even more nefarious than we thought. What did he know? When did he know it? Simon writes in closing, I'd sure like to find out. I imagine you would, too. And not just about Fauci's role, but what about that of the Chinese Communist Party, which seems intent on locking down their entire country only to allow their citizens to be incinerated and fenced in buildings? Where, how, and why did all this begin? Not just Americans, but the citizens of the world deserve to know finally. The Republicans are intending to open various investigations in the House in January of 2023. What really happened at the Wuhan lab should be at the top of their agenda. That is, if they care about something as important as the future of the human race. Roger L. Simon wrote this piece. Yeah. Look, I don't believe in scapegoating, but someone asked me, why do you care about this stuff? Why would you even talk about Anthony Fauci? You've never met him. Indifference and apathy and, quite honestly, cowardice is alive and well in the world. Where some, not many, not the majority, some would rather look the other way. Not about me. Why should I care? Here's the point and the reason why I care. Because if just a small percentage of this is true, not only is this criminal, but we've witnessed over the last 2 years, maybe as my friend Dennis Prager talks about, the most egregious abuse of power in the history of the world, let alone criminal actions because people died from this. And we're going to give them carte blanche? Here's my last thought. By the way, if you have any of yours, 800-222-KABC, phone lines are open. I've always been amazed when someone says something is the truth. If you know anything about the history of the rise of the Third Reich, Joseph Goebbels was the head of propaganda. They discovered if you say something over and over enough and report it as true, people will believe it as true, even though it may be a blatant lie. So I'm always amazed when I hear things coming out of the White House and the like saying, you know, this is the truth. This is what's going on. Not that this is the greatest source to determine in studies, but just go on Twitter sometime and you'll see whoever writes for Biden, you know, his Twitter post about, you know, gas prices are down. We're doing amazing things. Look at the comments. 99% of the comments are middle class people, are people that are struggling, are even some affluent people. They're just like outraged. How stupid do you think we are? We know lies when we hear it. Here's my point. There are a lot of people in our country that are getting pretty fed up. They know we've been lied to. They know we're being lied to. And they know we're going to continue to be lied to. The question is, what do we do about it? Maybe I can pick up where we left off on the other side. There are some things we can do about it, and it doesn't always involve them righting the wrongs. It's ultimately about us. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to this, the Frank Sontag Show. We are live in studio on this Friday evening, inviting you to take calls or call in. We will take your calls, 800-222-KABC. And we have an email address. I've just got like five or six inbox. I haven't looked. frank@kmgministries.com. Maybe you want to weigh in, but you don't want to get on the air. Okay, I hear that loud and clear. Let me say one thing about this program. I am on one night a week for 2 hours. So my intention, stereotypically, most times, I will hit a different topic each break, try to take your calls. But if I was on 5 days a week, I would do it a little differently. I would hit stories, like maybe once an hour, take calls and really lean in and break them down. I don't think the ability to do that now. So for the few of you that call in or mostly email in and complain, hey, why are you jumping all over the place? I learned when you're in the public forum, I learned it a long time ago. Not everybody's going to like you. Everybody's an expert, right? This is the way you should do it. But that's why, stereotypically, one segment to the next, I'm all over the place because I want to give you information. I want you to find out for yourself. And here's the bottom line, getting back to the end of the last segment. Even if these people are as corrupt as can be and are lying to our faces, I do embrace people being prosecuted to the full letter of the law. I'm a big law and order guy, which is very biblical. But I think the onus is on me. The onus is on you. This is we, the people. Part of the reason why this goes on, my hypothesis, again, I don't have a master's degree to back this up. I didn't write a thesis on groupthink. But I believe that most of this goes on because we let it go on. Years ago, there was a professor, a doctor named Stanley Milgram. I believe he was at Harvard or Yale. Do you know what the Milgram experiment was? He had this idea, and it had to do with convincing people through fear tactics to do things, even to the degree that they may harm someone else under the auspices of this is good and this is about science. What am I talking about? Here's what he did. He set up this little phony lab. And this is going back a number of decades, and he had this board with dials. And he had a partition on the other side of the glass were actually actors. The people that they brought in, the test subjects, were real. And the whole setup was, all right, we're conducting experiments here. And this is important scientific experiments where we need you to do some things that it may be out of your comfort zone, but we need you to do this because the ultimate good we will derive from this study that we're doing. So they would bait the test subjects to come in, and if my memory serves me, I think there were three dials. One was, you know, mild, one was medium, one was near fatal. And the setup was when you were asked to turn the dial, like on the mild one, you would turn it, and the person on the other side of the glass would receive an electrical jolt. Again, fake, but the test subjects didn't know this. So when the doctor said, okay, Bob, you need to, you know, turn the dial and send the jolt, and the actor would kind of, you know, act as if they got a little jolt. Well, it escalated. It got to the point where they were having test subjects, and I don't remember all the ins and outs, but it got to the point where they were telling them they had to administer a near lethal jolt. They had to do it. And the point of the study was to see who would say, I can't do it, and who would do it anyway. Right? You follow the experiment. Milgram found that more people than not, and they believed they were actually doing it, would administer, in some cases, a near-fatal jolt under the guise of, well, this is scientific research. So what's my point here? People in positions of authority, they know mind control very well. They know how to attempt to control the masses. The very basic X factor is through fear. Over and over again. Look at the last 2 years. Maybe sometime if I've got 6 months of nothing to do, which I hope never happens. I never plan on retiring. I think retiring is, well, not for me. I have a lot. I have a ministry. I have the program. I've got a marriage. I'm a father. I'm writing books, all that stuff, public speaking, blah, blah, blah. But here's the point. If I had the time, I would do kind of a research study on what just happened over the last 2 years and how much fear was used through propaganda and lies to brainwash the masses into doing things they normally, in their right minds, with their God-given intelligence, they wouldn't do. And I believe my case is obvious what I'm saying here. And I am not a doom and gloom guy. I'm not here to motivate through fear. I believe we are here to motivate through love. But if you think evil is going away anytime soon, and what those in positions of authority learned over the last few years, they're just going to somehow go away, well, you live in the 51st state of denial. We've got globalists, past and present, that have always wanted to somehow try to control the world. Don't get me going on digital technology and all the other things. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a rational, logical guy. But isn't it interesting that as of just a few years ago, some of the conspiracy theories and things that sounded all whacked out, now you're like, they're true. I've got 6 news stories here in front of me about COVID. I may or may not get to them. I've got other stories as well that I think are just as important. But it's time to wake up. That's the bottom line. It's time to take responsibility for our lives. It's time to make a difference in the world. It's time to take back our communities and our families. Playing the victim, hiding and cowering, doing what the government tells you to do, doesn't work. And I'll be doggone. I'm a pretty nonviolent guy, but I also believe in righteous indignation. If I meet one more dude that somehow get drawn into my men's ministry and I hear their story and we sit down and we have counseling and share some stories, I'm like, well, you know, what's your deal? Well, I don't know. It just became too much. I don't know how to be a father, and I don't have feelings for my wife anymore. And I just want to find myself. I'm not kidding you. I just want to smack them on the side of the head. And what are you talking about? But again, we live in a time. Our feelings, our emotions are so important. You're offending me right now. We have safe spaces in college campuses. Dear Lord, what world do we live in? But here's the bottom line. I don't want to make it sound easy. It's actually much more complex than that. But if you break it down to a spiritual component, like Jack Brewer did last hour, we may play that clip again for those that missed it. But you break it down to a spiritual component, these are lies that we've accepted out of fear. And God is not a God of fear. God is a God of order. We are all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do dumb stuff. I've been talking with my 14-year-old son. I remember when I was 14. Oh, boy. But real men stand against evil. In fact, true human beings stand against evil, both men and women. And the time is now. And maybe it starts with you being honest with yourself, informing yourself. But don't live in fear. Do not be afraid of cowards and tyrants. They're the little bullies that if you just confront them, they'll fall down like the little cowards that they are. And there's a lot of them that are power hungry. I was talking to a dear friend on the break about some of the players with the vaccines and COVID numbers and all that. You want to talk about the display of unmitigated evil greed. I used to think, how much is enough? When you're financially really well off, how much is enough? These people are not only power hungry, they're greedy, they're evil. And they're actually trying to do an end run and try to control the planet. It only takes a few of us to flip the light on in the darkness and say, not on my watch. The greatest power in the world is love, not evil. All right, we have a couple of lines open, 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. And I will kind of do a reset and look through my stories and maybe share some other important information, take more phone calls. And again, to reiterate, if you want to email me, email address is just frank@kmgministries.com. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for listening to this, the Frank Sontag Show. We are here every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. We are live in studio this evening, as is the case for many weeks to come. By the way, if you listen to KABC, I think I can announce this. I'm going to be on air next Thursday from 5 to 6, sitting in for Leo 2.0. If you're a regular listener to KABC, you may want to make a note on your calendar to tune in Thursday afternoon at 5. I'll be back Friday at 7 for the regular show as well. Here's a few story, just headlines I'll read, and then I'll get into something more specific. We talked a little bit about COVID and the shot, and FDA is trying to rewrite COVID history on prohibiting ivermectin. For the record, I'm not a doctor, but I am a huge proponent of ivermectin. I know people that took it, got COVID severely, and within a matter of a few days, turned themselves completely around. If you go to the FDA website, even though they say, and we heard a lot, remember how bad ivermectin was? They would bring up horses and just ridiculous stuff. On their very website, most of the studies they posted recently say there are attributes to taking ivermectin. Steve Kirsch is on record saying suppressing repurposed drugs cost millions of lives during COVID. He's the founder of something called the COVID Treatment Fund. And Dr. Scott Atlas, who is a hero, says that public health leaders, scientists in particular, owe Americans an apology for what they did during the lockdowns. We may or may not get into any of that, but I wanted to at least read the headlines to you. Last week, we talked about the release of Brittany Griner. I think that's her name. It's amazing, you know, in the news, and then the next thing you know, not so much in the news. And look, say what you will about Donald Trump. And I'm just going to be blatant here. He runs his mouth. Man, the dude runs his mouth. But when he was in office, he did a lot of, he got a lot done, if you will. Now, I don't know if you know this. And in the past, he's been accused of saying something that they say was a lie. But I'm sure it'd be easy enough to find out. Did you see where he said he rejected a deal when he was president, swapping Victor Bout with former Marine Paul Whelan? Did you see that one? He said he wouldn't do it because Victor Bout killed untold numbers of people. Former President Donald Trump said he had previously turned down a prisoner swap deal with Russia, saying he couldn't have former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan home, but allow out convicted Russian arms dealer Victor Bout. He said, I turned down a deal with Russia for a one-to-one swap, and I couldn't do it because this man is a mass murderer. If you don't know about Victor Bout, sentenced to 25 years in prison, conspiring to sell millions of dollars worth of weapons, was freed in the exchange of NBA player Brittany Griner. WNBA. Did I say NBA? These days. Yeah, WNBA. The world is headed into a financial crisis. What has worked in the past will not solve the economic problems. And a new quote-unquote regime is deliberately causing recessions, according to one man, Joshua Philip. These are among the key points in a 2023 playbook. You know all about BlackRock? These guys that are kind of a woke investment company. They started monopolizing and buying up all sorts of real estate. Philip says, what is the new regime? What are the causes of the problems being what he says are deliberately created for economies around the world? Meantime, a dual-sided financial agenda is moving alongside the new recession. Centralized banks are using the crisis to advance their own agenda to force people into using digital currencies, while the Fed is adopting policies being criticized as a type of monetary totalitarianism. Philip asked the questions, what are these policies, why are they being pushed, where do they risk bringing the economy? You can find out more by just looking up Joshua Philip, 1L, 2Ps. And then this story, I don't know if you follow Title 42, which I think is set to end on December 20th. Which is in just a few days. Right? The Title 42 public health order about the border. This story caught my eye. 14 border agents have committed suicide this year. I used to broadcast in San Diego just a few years ago, I would have Border Patrol agents calling in the program and telling me things that I'll be honest with you, I wish I could never have heard about things that were going down. Horrible things that they saw. And I'm not going to get graphic on you, but Border Patrol agents, at least early on in the Biden administration, they've been pretty much demonized. So here's a story. 14 have killed themselves this year. If that sounds shocking to you, listen to this. A group called Taking Action to Prevent Suicide would allow California Border Patrol agents to freely speak with healthcare professionals without fear of losing their jobs, as well as increase the number of local behavioral health specialists with the expertise to provide psychological assistance. I mean, I can't imagine what they go through. While many of us have disagreements on, well, what's going on at the border, we have to come together, according to the founder of this group, and find common ground and get these people help. There's another story that I don't have in front of me. I think it was in the last 13 years, 123 Border Patrol agents have committed suicide. Well, look, I'm not here to report doom and gloom 24/7, but my goodness, this is going on. Part of the answer, and I'm not being flippant, a large part of the answer is prayer. I've got 3 minutes. Let me try to throw this your way. If you're somebody that represents themselves as a quote-unquote Christian, we hear all about prayer, the importance of prayer. I think there are a number of us that don't pray. Or we do the wake up in the morning, protect us this day, you know, God bless Uncle Bobby and Aunt Sue, and then move on. We don't pray aggressively. We don't pray against the demonic. When Jesus was alive, the 12, really the 11, saw him create miracles and everything else. They asked him, teach us how to pray. Jesus' whole life. And maybe another time, for those of you that are naysayers, which you are few and far between, when you hear this, oh, I don't believe in Jesus or whatever, is a historical figure. He walked the planet. Eyewitnesses, more than 500, saw him crucified, saw him resurrect. But here's the point. Jesus' whole life was exemplified in prayer by the relationship he had with God the Father. All the information I share on this program, and I get pretty passionate, if I was to tell you one thing, the key to life, the answer to everything, is for you, man or woman, to truly be convicted, to know that God loves you as his beloved daughter, as his son. And he is alive. It's the answer to everything. We don't pray to God the Father. Us Christians, you know, we do a little sign-off in Jesus' name when we think somehow it's like that seals the envelope and it goes up somewhere and we don't know if he even answers. You become to understand you're a daughter, a son of God the Father, and you begin praying actively with passion, even with anger, against some of the things that are going on. The Bible assures us something will transpire from your prayers. And I pray against the spirit of suicide all the time. We had something happen at our last man camp I don't need to get into, but let me tell you, we all need to pray against the spirit of suicide. And we just lost another television personality. seen by, you know, outside looking in. Good looking. Guy had it all. Happy. Jovial. How many vets do we lose a day? Got to get on our knees and get into battle. Pray and cry out to God. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Our final segment is upon us, and it is next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. Before we get into our final segment and the topic at hand, I want to acknowledge someone that is a blessing to our community. And his name is Dr. John Shea. The man has a med spa called Rejuvieu. And let me share some thoughts about him and what they do. I would hope you know by now, we've been doing this program for a number of months, and we have all of the programs in their entirety on podcasts just by going to franksontag.com or even our home site here at kbc.com. A few months ago, I had in studio Dr. John Shea from Rejuvieu Medical. John is a dear friend of mine, and they do incredible things at Rejuvieu. They have some of the latest in regenerative and rejuvenation procedures. If you have aches and pains, they do PRP. They do a various number of things to help you feel good. And if you want to even look younger, if you will, they have a lot of procedures for loose skin on the face and neck. Amazing place. They've got cutting-edge ultrasound technology. And I would say they're a resource for us in our community. All you have to do is just reach out to them and give them a call and tell them what you're looking for, and I'm sure they will take care of you. 626-551-4800. 626-551-4800. Rejuvieu.com as well. Dr. John Shea does amazing work. Take it into consideration. Make that call. You'll be glad you did. Again, 661-551-4800. Now, in talk radio, not everyone listens to every moment of the show. In fact, it's quite rare that somebody will listen at least live to the entire broadcast. Some of you may have missed last hour. If you miss any of this program, our podcast is up virtually right after the show at franksontag.com. We have a problem in our country with violence. And we hear a lot about gun violence. Now, there is a story about the CDC removing data from the website after some activists hit them up who were really upset that on the CDC website they talked about the scores of people that have used guns for defensive and for protection. And the activists had the CDC ended up taking it down. So we hear a lot of conversations about, especially when we have tragedies like a mass shooting, the opportunists come out of the woodwork and you hear all about gun control, right? Systematic, hardcore gun control. Now, we're going to hear an audio clip in a moment, but I want to tell you, as a follower of Christ, we believe there is a spiritual realm and there's a physical realm. Sometimes we call the physical realm the flesh. And without going into some kind of a theology lesson right now, it's important to at least comprehend that, because I'm going to play an audio clip from a man who is in the front lines of the battle of trying to say there is a larger problem here when it comes to violence and gun violence, and it's not just guns. Jack Brewer is a man that does a number of things. He's the chair of America's First Policy Institute's Center for Opportunity Now. He's the founder and executive director of the Jack Brewer Foundation. They do a lot of work in prisons. He recently was on Capitol Hill testifying about gun violence. This man's name is Jack Brewer.
And going to the inner cities actively. So for me to be called, my ideas to be called idiocy and to be made a mockery of in front of the nation, you know, I know that I'm taking that persecution in the name of Jesus. Because I hear a lot of flesh talk. I don't hear any spirit talk. Spirit talk says that we cannot solve things of the flesh with the flesh. The things of the spirit must come in. When you pull a trigger and mass shoot somebody, you are spiritually weak. And for us to sit here as we look and see that 82% of people that commit mass shootings are fatherless, to not look at that as a root cause, to me, is idiocy. And so when we start talking about our kids, look at what's happening in our public schools. A lot of our public schools kids are reading 3 and 4 grade levels below their proficiency. They don't have dads at home to hold them accountable. And so to say that that doesn't play in to why we have so much gun violence in our streets makes no sense. Go into the prisons and talk to the people who are pulling the trigger. I am here speaking for them because I serve them every day. And the reason, the only way that they rehab is through the word of God. We don't teach God in our schools anymore. We don't even teach the Ten Commandments. Most kids don't even know the Ten Commandments. And so they don't have a fear of God.
Jack Brewer. Now, we are obviously almost out of time, but I would love to maybe at the very least read your comments. If you have a response to that, would you email me? I'll read your email on the air next week. Frank@kmgministries.com. Now, I don't know about you, but I will just say it this way. I don't hear near enough about fatherlessness in America and how that is a core problem in many areas, not just in what Jack Brewer was alluding to. But we embrace it as normal. The welfare state has encouraged women to, and honestly, you know, deadbeat dads, whatever, they'll get a paycheck from the government. There's a lot of moving parts to this. But if you can take out the head of the family and annihilate the family itself, you will see the deterioration, eventually the demise of culture. It's funny, interesting that I have the sense where I have to clarify in the program, because it's not like I do a full-time 5-day-a-week program where y'all know who I am and where I come from. Wasn't that long ago, Black Lives Matter, on their website, part of their mission statement was to annihilate the nuclear family. Because they're leftists. That's the essence of that type of ideology. Upending culture. Annihilating the family. And at the very least, why can we not have conversations about disagreement? Why are we finding out now that in the area of social media conversations, the government was adamant about shutting down anything other than their own propaganda when it came at the very least to COVID? This is what leftists do. This is what leftist regimes have done since the beginning of recorded history. I heard my friend Dennis Prager say this on the air this week. It's a brilliant and simple point. If you want to know what ideology is the one to be concerned about, look at the one that is trying to shut down free speech, and they even call it hate speech. Those of us that stand for free speech, it wasn't that long ago where I think the ACLU, there was a march in Mississippi a couple decades ago. They said that the KKK had a right to march. That's the essence of free speech. But what happens is, if you go with the lies and the propaganda and, oh, hate speech, got to be shut down, blah, 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 and what's going on Twitter is very interesting. And by the way, I don't give Elon Musk carte blanche. Anybody that wants to put a chip into your brain and wants to go along with AI, I'm not down with the program. I like a lot of what Elon says, and there's some things, you know, he just quotes scripture and the Christians. Oh, my gosh, is he a Christian? No, he's not a Christian. But I digress. Leftist regimes will always try to shut down freedom of speech so they can control you. Duh. If they can control the public discourse, they can control you. Enter the most recent and immediate example. Look at what's going on in China. If that doesn't, look, I know we're overwhelmed and some of us are in a difficult season and they're like, I don't even want to deal with China. I get that. But you better spend at least a moment or two. Because we have people, Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, praising China. And the current president signed on to the deal with 19 other nations. And I say no in the name of Jesus, and I pray against it all the time. Fact here, let me sign off with this. This will give you something to think about. You ready? Maybe next week I'll talk about witchcraft, since I was involved in that stuff for 20 years. You were? Yes, I was. I pray in Jesus' name that he curses witches and workers of iniquity, that he sends angels to confuse, confound, and disrupt them, cancel every act of demonically inspired activity, maybe even in your community. I pray that those that identify themselves as Christians start retaking territory and continue to be prayerful and discomfort everyone working for those in darkness, that they would repent and seek salvation, and that God would turn entire neighborhoods and locations completely around. But God needs people to change the spiritual atmosphere, and it starts with you and it starts with me through prayer. And I say amen. I appreciate you listening to this broadcast. If you missed any portion of it, go to franksontag.com shortly thereafter for the entire podcast. You can email me at frank@kmgministries.com. We will be back next Thursday from 5 to 6. I'll be sitting in for Leo 2.0 and then back on the Friday program from 7 to 9. For those of you on hold that we didn't get to, I apologize, Mel, Brent, Jay, and others. Thank you for being patient with me. I will try to take more calls and acknowledge you and validate you and tell you how appreciative I am, KABC family, that you support this radio program. We're here every Friday afternoon or evening, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific. This is the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.